ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। So today we will do the summary of chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the chapter entitled Bhakti Yoga, Yoga of Devotion. This is the last chapter in the middle portion of the Gita, where the Ishvara Swarupa and Ishvara Anugraha and mainly Bhakti Yoga is talked about. So this brings us to the last chapter of the middle portion. So, bhakti is highly misunderstood. It is actually self-effacement. Bhakti means self-effacement. It is the dissolution of ego. It is surrendering one's ego in the higher altar. That is bhakti. When you become aware of the higher, there is a natural flow of attitude of gratitude towards the higher for everything that is being provided. So that feeling of gratitude that comes with that awareness is bhakti, you can say so. So as a result, the ego is diluted and dissolved. So the small circle identifying with the big circle is bhakti. But bhakti today has been reduced to beggary, asking, begging, and it has been construed as some emotional outburst. That is not bhakti. So, in fact, bhakti, when it mixes with the practice at the physical, emotional, intellectual level, converts each and every practice into a yoga. Karma plus bhakti is karma yoga. Bhakti plus bhakti is bhakti yoga. Otherwise, the bhakti practices, the Navavida bhakti that we keep talking about, it'll cease to be bhakti if that surrender is missing. And similarly, the practice of jnana without bhakti will not be jnana yoga. So bhakti means self-effacement. Arjuna was a great bhakta. Narada was a great bhakta. It's only to the extent we have bhakti can we attune ourselves to the divinity. So that bhakti yoga is the culminating chapter in the middle portion here, because obviously after Sri Krishna talking about the nature of Ishvara and Arjuna having gone through the whole portion that Sri Krishna gave, especially the 10th and 11th chapter, seeing the one in all and all in one, automatically the feeling that surfaces will be bhakti, because you understand the insignificance of ego in comparison to the totality. The individual is nothing, however big the individual may be, in comparison to the total. So that is called bhakti. So this chapter is a very small chapter. It has only about 20 shlokas, 20 verses. And It is divided into three topics by Swamiji. In this chapter, the last portion, he gives 35 qualities of a bhakta. Now, as we were just talking about bhakti, lot of people have no clue of any of these qualities, but they consider themselves as bhakta. That is not bhakti. If you have any of these qualities, then you are a bhakta. So first topic from verse 1 to 5 is form and formless worship. Arjuna asks a question in the beginning, which is superior, form worship or formless worship? Saguna Ishvara Upasana or Nirguna Upasana, which is superior? So that discussion is there from verse 1 to 5, form and formless worship. Then from 6 to 12, he gives the progressive ways to reach God. Now you will see the level to which Sri Krishna will come down to make us turn towards the divinity. Like we had discussed in one of our classes before, that all that really the divine self within is interested is to fill us swallowing the ego. But for that we need to turn towards it. Even if we have little bit our attention turned towards Krishna, he will come down heavily to our level and pull us towards him. That's the level to which he is longing to unite with us. But the problem is we need to turn towards him. So, the progressive ways to reach God. First he starts from the highest, and then he comes to the lowest. At least do this, at least do this, at least do this. And when we turn our attention towards the divinity within, like we have discussed before in the 8th chapter, as you think, so shall you become. Today our whole attention is upon the world. And only when our attention turns towards the divinity, slowly the process of merging starts. So that he talks about from verse 6 to 12. Then from 13 to 20, he talks about the 35 qualities of a bhakta. A devotee of God. Now, even if you have one quality, to that extent you will have all other qualities. It's impossible that you will have one quality and the other quality you will not have. To the extent you will have one quality, to that extent you will have the other qualities as well. So, similarly in the 13th chapter, he will talk about 20 qualities of a jnani. In Bhagavad Gita, there are a lot of qualities talked about. Even in the 16th chapter, he will talk about Daiva Asura Sampat Vibhaga Yoga chapter. He will talk about divine qualities and demonic qualities. So, the more and more we identify with the divinity, these qualities will be found in us. That's how we know whether we are a bhakta or not. So, the first topic, form and formless worship. This is not just Arjuna's question, this is a question which a lot of us have. So, like I said, Arjuna is only our representative. He is asking Sri Krishna, the Guru, in the first verse, those ever steadfast devotees who worship you and also those who worship the imperishable, the unmanifest, which of these are the best versed in yoga? All Arjuna's question is like this. Should I follow action or knowledge? What should I follow? In the beginning he asks like that. Then he asks about sannyas and tyag in the 18th chapter, you see. Now here he is asking about form worship is superior or formless. Because Sri Krishna just talked about the Vishwarupa Darshana. he showed him the Vishwarupa Darshana. So when he initiated him and showed him the Vishwarupa Darshana, and there is this Ekarupa Krishna. So Ekarupa Krishna, Vishwarupa, Vishnu, and Arupa Brahman. So Arjuna is asking, worshipping you in a form or formless, which is superior? Now, whenever this question, which is superior, comes, anybody who is asking, remember, independently what is superior is not important. That is independent. Who is asking what is superior for that fellow? Fellow who is dreaming every night that he is getting married, is coming and asking, should I get married? Obviously, marriage is superior for him. However, from your experience, you understand that it is a terrible thing to do. But you will have to tell that fellow, you need to get married. Somebody went to Socrates and asked, should I get married? He said, yes, by all means get married. Because if you get good wife, you will be happy. And if you get a bad one, you will become a philosopher, is what he said. The whole idea is, what is superior to that fellow? So, a fellow who is at a very, very higher level and subtle level, obviously will have that Arupa level of attunement is extremely difficult. Even Vishwarupa level of attunement is very difficult. Now, are you able to see this entire Vishwa, the entire world, as an expression of divinity? Is it possible? If you are at that level, any one of us, our whole life will be completely different by now. Everything, in other words, you will be constantly feeling the presence of divinity spirit. That's not the case. We don't see this world as divinity, the form of divinity. Now, the road in which the Khan market is there, it's called Subramanya Bharati Mark. Now, Subramanya Bharati is a Tamil poet. He has sung various songs on Indian independence and God and all that. And one of the songs is this, Tarkai Chiraginile Nandalala. Meaning, in the crow's feathers, he sees Bhagavan Vishnu, Krishna. Do we see like that? We don't see. In the trees, he says, I see you. In everything that I see you. That will be the level if you are attuned to Vishwarupa. So for us, firstly, how much we are attuned itself, we don't know. Our bhakti today, when we step out of our prayer room, is gone. That's the level at the moment. Inside the prayer room, 25 times you will fall at the feet of the Lord. The moment you come out, you forget about the Lord. The world starts taking over. So for us, obviously, to conceive of Vishwarupa is far-fetched. And then Arupa is impossible. Arupa means formless. So if a person is already attuned at that level, would he or she be asking such a question? Never. They know that it is more difficult to attune to the unmanifest. So that the person is asking means, for that person, what is superior? Form worship is superior. And form worship or Vishwarupa worship, which is a superior form worship, or Arupa worship, these are stages. One need not think that this is superior, therefore this is inferior. Not in that sense. You got to learn to crawl before you can walk. You can't straight away try to walk. After walking, you can start jogging and running. So there are steps. So this is what he's asking Arjuna. Which is superior? Form worship or formless? Ekarupa, Vishwarupa, and Arupa. And Sri Krishna, when he answers, he says, those ever steadfast devotees who fixing mind on me, worship me endowed with supreme Shraddha, them I consider best in yoga. So he says, worshipping me in form, I consider them as superior. Because he wants to tell Arjuna, you start with that level. Supposing he says Ramnanipas is best, then he'll struggle there. Instead of crawling, he'll start trying to jog when he can't even walk. Therefore, worshipping me in form is superior. See, you should be able to see everything splashed here as nothing but divinity. Then you will not sway away from the path of divinity. So he says, identifying with me, the form is superior. And then immediately he will start telling that those indeed who worship the imperishable, indefinable, unmanifest, omnipresent, unthinkable, unchanging, immovable, all these are arupa. They also reach me, having controlled the group of senses and rejoicing in the welfare of all beings. So he says, they also reach me. So, one way of looking at these verses is, Krishna is talking from the psychological point of view and saying to Arjuna that this worship of form is superior because Arjuna is at that level. Another way of looking at it is, very interesting, in Swami Vivekananda's life, he explains this once. He says, somebody asks him, being a sannyasi is superior or being a grahastha is superior. And Swami Vivekananda is a sannyasi. He says, being a grahastha is superior. In fact, there's an episode in Mahabharata where Arjuna is supposed to have had tremendous ego, and even Narad Muni, that they are great devotees of Lord. And Sri Krishna takes them and shows the farmer who wakes up in the morning, thinks of Bhagwan first, and then gets on working in the field. Before going to bed, he again thinks of Bhagwan. So, he says, that fellow is superior. Why? Because even while plowing the field, he has not forgotten me. Not when he is, when you are with me, you are remembering me. But 24/7, 365 days, while he is functioning in the world, still remembers me. So, if you look at it from that angle, form worship is superior. In the sense, in spite of your senses, seeing the world, you see the divinity in that form. You do not get carried away by the form. So, but even those who are attuned to the unmanifest, sitting in meditation, having controlled the senses, they also reach me. So the process is that the form represents the formless. Since not everyone can directly attune to the formless, ultimately the divinity is formless, which is infinite, which has no beginning, no end. So it's beyond the senses. It's unmanifest. It's not available to the senses. Indriya gochara. So, it is very difficult. So he says in verse number 5, greater is the difficulty whose minds are set on the unmanifest. So a prop is always better to be able to attune. So if you have a form, to attune and bring your concentration on it is easier than having no form to attune. So he says, for the goal, the unmanifest is hard for the embodied to reach. So therefore, you start with form worship. And initially it is Ishta Devata worship. Now, whenever we talk about worship, remember, I told you worship means identification with the self, with Bhagavan. The Bhagavan, since you are not able to conceive in formless method, you take a form and through the form you conceive the formless. Like you have a national flag to attune to the nation. So the idol represents the ideal. So if you really understand it that way, then the Bhakta of Krishna will not fight with Bhakta of Rama, and Bhakta of Hanumanji and Bhakta of Shiva, Ganesha fighting with each other. Makes no sense. But you understand that all these various forms only represent that formless. So, form worship is in the beginning easier. To that form, through that form you identify with the divinity. And dissolve your ego. Start the process of dissolving the ego. Then you slowly, slowly come to Vishwarupa. Then finally you come to Arupa. That's the process. Because finally when you understand the self as the essence in all beings, it cannot be having a form. The form dissolves. And when the form dissolves, you understand that every form is divinity's form. Though the divinity is actually formless. So then you cannot hate any form. That's the quality he will talk about. First quality, when he talks about 35 qualities of a bhakta. So greater is their difficulty whose minds are set on the unmanifest. So worship means identification with the divinity, the self. And in the very beginning, it may have some desires, but eventually the desires will drop. So the Sakama Bhakti will drop and it will become Nishkama Bhakti. But it may be Saguna Bhakti. It need not have grown to the level of Nirguna Bhakti. Saguna Ishvara Upasana is what worshipping a form. Upasana, Upasana, sitting near. Your thoughts are identified with the Ishvara, who is conceived through Saguna, through a form. But there is no personal desires. Nishkama you are sitting with. In the beginning there could have been some kama, but slowly, slowly you come to Nishkama Saguna Ishvara Upasana. And then you move to Nishkama Nirguna Ishvara Upasana. As you think, so shall you become. And through this process, you purify yourself. So there is this tradition where you offer everything to Bhagavan in the temple and then consume. Whether it is food prepared or whether it is salary that you get, whatever it is. So then you slowly, slowly come to the level where you understand that the Lord is not just identified in this form. There is no place where there is no Lord. So then you grow to the level of an ambassador of God, like an ambassador of country. Anything and everything that he or she does as an ambassador of a country will be reflected as the country's views. So therefore, 24/7, 365 days in full awareness and consciousness of the country they function. The same way you become the ambassador of divinity. Like we have discussed before, the concept of giving. Now one is you work for yourself, you get something for yourself, and then from that you little bit you do charity. Other is, whatever work you are doing, that work itself is in interest of the welfare of the society. There is not even a single tinge of ego. And then you partake whatever comes out of that action as a prasad. So then your whole life is dedicated for giving on. So in the beginning, it will start like this. From the portion you earned having worked for yourself, little bit you will do dhan. Then slowly the whole life will be as a dhan only. So like that in bhakti, initial stage, then later stage, and final stage of bhakti is where you merge with divinity. Where there is no difference between you and Krishna. You have become Krishna. Krishna is you and you have become Krishna. So that's why it's like the process of bhakti is dissolution of ego in the divinity. So he says, since it's very difficult to attune to the unmanifest, you can attune to the manifest, and through that you go to the unmanifest. This is what he discussed from verse 1 to 5, the form and formless. And once you understand this, would you be criticizing or passing remarks on people who are doing Ekarupa or Vishwarupa worship, assuming that you have attuned to Arupa worship? Impossible. See, Adi Shankara, a pioneer of Advaita philosophy, he established much. He established temples. He talks about Upasana. Now, he has written Saundarya Lahari, Lalita Sahasranama, Sri Vidya Upasana, he talks about. Now, a great saint who is Advaita philosophy champion, who is a jnani, why is he talking about Upasana? Why is he establishing mutts and mandirs? See, it's like this. We all have now come to this level of running, jogging, walking, having gone through the level of crawling. And we needed a walker. With the help of the walker, then we slowly started walking without the walker. So in the house, when you use the walker, you will keep it for the next generation. You have now, you don't need the walker anymore. But having come to this level, now you understand the need of it for the next generation. Similarly, you will not be anti-rituals, anti-upasana. Remember this. Rituals and upasanas are for us to purify and bring ourselves to single pointedness, chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagrata. But if you start criticizing it, then your approach is purely head and no heart. See, when the head is attuned to the divinity within, the heart will expand. There will be a flowering of the heart. If the flowering of the heart and the expansion of the heart is not happening, then you are not spiritually growing. You have just got few information at the head level. And when the heart expands, your hand will extend in service of humanity and all species. This is spiritual growth. This, if this is happening, then you are growing spiritually. Otherwise, no. In some context, somebody asked Swami Vivekananda, we have to choose between a person whose head is developed over the heart, or the heart is developed over the head, whom will we choose? He immediately says, the fellows whose heart is more developed than head, I will choose. Because slowly, then later on, I can probably develop the head. But only head developing, no heart developed, is a big problem. You become a threat to the whole society. So, when you have attuned to the subtler realm of worship, you will not criticize people who are at the level of form, because you understand it is the step from the form, you come to formless. It is not the other way around. And once you have identified with the formless reality, then when you come into the world and work, every form will be seen as Krishna. So that is the way in which you will progress. That's why he says the test of development is where you see the self in all and all in self. So then he continues talking about the progressive ways to reach God, the method. But he goes in the reverse order. First he talks the highest, then he comes to the lowest. So whichever level you can, you don't have to worry. At least start from that level. So from verse 6 to 12, progressive ways to reach divinity, God. So in 6 and 7 he says, those who worship me, renouncing all actions in me, regarding me as supreme, meditating on me with single-pointed yoga, for those whose minds are set on me, I become erlong, O Partha, the deliverer from the ocean of death-bound samsara. See, very simple. All along he's been saying, Matpara, Matpara, Mayi Sarvani Karmani Sanyasya. Every time he goes on talking about me, 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 me. You take the me to be with the form Krishna, Vishnu, or formless, doesn't matter. Don't get confused there. But what is important is renouncing all actions in it. Now that is important. There should be no personal ego coming in. This is what we said as ambassador. Renouncing all actions in me, regarding me as supreme, matparaha. Always he keeps talking about this matpara, matpara. And we have discussed this many times. When you go to a supermarket with a list of things you want to buy, and the supermarket people say, we are going to close down in 5 minutes, so quickly get whatever you want and come to the counter. So you will buy those things which are your highest priority. Many things you may leave because that's not that important. But few things which are important you'll buy and come to the counter fast. Similarly, today, the divinity is the last priority. It's there, but last. But it should come the highest priority. You should understand that the supremacy of the hand of divinity in everything. Now, I consider my happiness, my sukham, my sense enjoyment as highest. Then I say, no, I am still not come to that level where I don't have any interest in sense enjoyment, but I don't consider that as supreme. I submit that to a divinity. Like Arjuna asked, if you think, of course I wish to see Vishwarupa Darshana, but if you think that it is possible, then you please show it to me. Are you with me? This is called the Prasada Buddhi. The Prasada Buddhi. The Arpana Buddhi. So, he says, those who worship me, identify with me, whether as Krishna or as Vishnu or as Arupa. Renouncing all actions in me is important. Regarding me as supreme is important. And constantly thinking of me. The way we develop vasana is by constant unintelligent identification with the world. It's not the action that develops vasana. It's our unintelligent, indiscriminate thought flow that creates vasana. So, today I'm thinking that when I'm working in the world, I'll develop worldly vasana, no? Recollect verse number 6 and 7 of chapter 3. Where in 6 he said, a person who doesn't engage the organs of action into action, but mentally keeps thinking about the world, such a person he called him as an hypocrite. in 7 ages, instead you engage the organs of action in action, but the organs of perception and the mind is controlled by the intellect attuning to the self. So there I gave the example of Ganesh Chaturthi, where you are preparing modak for Ganesh Chaturthi. The ingredients are the best quality, you made sure you bought from the shop, you showered in the morning before you start preparing the modak, but all along while preparing the modak, the thought is of Ganesha. You are even, you know, the nose is even smelling as you are cooking, but you are not thinking about the joy, the taste, nothing. You are only thinking of Ganesha. So anything and everything that I do it surrendering to that divinity. That's what he's saying. Then what is the thought in me, Krishna? When the thought is Krishna, what I am doing can never be stressful or strenuous. But with the thought is, I am doing, there is stress. You find a lot of people, nobody works, everything I have to do. And they'll in between add this masala. Not that I want to talk about myself, but everything only I am doing. Nobody is doing. I don't understand this. I'm happy doing it. The way they say I'm happy doing it. They're not really happy doing it. Why? Because there is so much of I. There is no Krishna, no Vishnu, no Arupa, nothing. There is only I. That is not bhakti. If there is I, you will develop vasana. If there is no I, you don't develop vasana. As simple as that. So, for those whose minds are set on me, I along become the deliverer from the ocean of death-bound samsara. Simple. So forget about which is superior and which is inferior. Start identifying. It doesn't matter what you offer, he said, no? Whether patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, whatever you offer. Study that in the 9th chapter. Yome bhaktya prayacha. Doesn't matter what you offer, how you offer. And bhakti is more important for me. You can call Krishna, hey Krishna. Or you can call Krishna with Krishna G. Suffix G. You put G, you don't put G, he doesn't care. He just cares if there is bhakti in him. That's all. That's what he says. That single pointed identification, awareness. Then you will drop the vasanas. I will deliver you free from the ocean of samsara. Death-bound samsara. The death-bound samsara is due to our vasanas. And once your thoughts are identifying with the divinity consciously, either through a form or without form, doesn't matter, you will release the vasanas, the impressions. So therefore he says, you should start focusing on me. Then in 8 he says, fix your mind on me alone, place your intellect in me, you shall then no doubt live in me alone henceforth. The highest level, the mind, intellect, body, everything is attuned to the self. There is zero interest. You are only working in the interest of that total. Mind, intellect, everything is attuned. Mayeva mana adatsva. May buddhim niveshaya. Nivasishyati. You are residing in me. Thus you will be residing in me. There is no doubt. You shall live in me. Live in me means what? In your thoughts only divinity should be there, nothing else. Then you shall then no doubt live in me alone henceforth. Then you will come to me. But if you are not able to do that, you will say, hey, I am not in that level now, what do I do? Then he comes down further and says, if you are unable to fix your mind steadily on me, then seek to reach me by Abhyasa Yoga. Yoga practice, O Dhananjaya. So continue. You close your eyes and you can't think of Krishna, doesn't matter. Open your eyes and start Abhyasa practice. Abhyasa can include karma, bhakti, jnana, everything. Or sitting in front of the Lord and doing flower worship. It doesn't matter. The whole idea is attuning the mind to that divinity. Abhyasa. Now, this is possible only if you are relatively desireless. The worldly desire should not be there. So then, he says, if you are incapable of even abhyasa, regard my action as supreme, even by performing actions for my sake, you shall attain perfection. Get out of the world. Thy will be done, not my will be done. With that attitude, go and do the action. Because if you're too extroverted, you need to do the action. You can't sit in meditation. You can't do saguna or ishvara upasana. Not possible. So, in fact, that saguna ishvara upasana can also be done externally or internally, the mind level. There are stories in our shastras where there was a saint. There is a very interesting song called Abhirami Andaz. The last word of the first set of verse will be the beginning of the next one. And the last verse, last word will be the first word in the first verse. So it's like a mala. Now there was a saint who was doing this upasana mentally. And the king comes and asks him, is it Purnami or what today? When is Purnami? He said, today is Purnami. It was actually Amavasya. And he didn't say Ram. He said Purnami because in his worship he is seeing light within. What he was seeing within at the subtle level, he thought. You remember in the Vishwarupa Darshan, he was seeing lights everywhere. A splash of divinity everywhere. So then the story goes that the king said, today is Amavasya, and you said Purnami, and he ties him up. He was going to kill him. At the time he sings this Abhirami Andadi. And the story goes that the goddess threw her nose ring and the light splashed. All these are stories that we hear. What we need to understand is you can practice this upasana either as a ritual externally to a lord, an idol, or within. But for that, your mind should be relatively free from the worldly requirements. Otherwise, you can't do. So he says, even if you can't do that, it's okay. You come and work in the world. But simple, what? Thy will be done, not my will be done. The interest of the given, what is the interest in the total functioning according. Now, if you find that also difficult, it comes down further. My will be done and all is too much for me. So now what do? He says, if you are unable to do even this, then taking refuge in union with me, renounce the fruit of all actions. Self-control. So what he is saying is, I am not in the level where I can work, thy will be done attitude. I have my requirements, my interest is there. You know. So what do? Very simple. Don't worry. You function to fulfill your desires. But the fruit, at least you leave it to me. I am the Ishwara. Delivers the result according to one's action. So at least accept that. Oh Bhagavan, I am working for myself. I need this. I leave it to you. And I'll work. You give it to me as a prasad. start from that level at least. And for that also you need certain self-control. Do that and do that at least. This is at least possible. Now if you say, even this is not possible, what do I do? He says, leave me alone. He doesn't say anything, which is understood, which means there is nothing lower than this. So he's told, even you can work for yourself, but at least renounce the results to me. Don't think of the result. I will give you the result. At least accept that. Don't think you can do everything. Ego is only a small circle, not big circle. Then verse number 12 is a very interesting verse. Better indeed is knowledge than practice. Better than knowledge is meditation. Than meditation is renunciation of fruit of action. Peace immediately follows renunciation. See, we always say practice is better than knowledge. An ounce of practice is better than ocean of theory. These kind of quotations we have heard. But here Sri Krishna says knowledge is better than practice. In other words, we are not machines. We are human beings. What makes a human being different from machine? Machine will not have awareness. Machine will not have emotions. Machine will only have motion. Machine will not be having action. And machine will not have growth. So, how do we differentiate ourselves from machine? Awareness, emotions, action, and growth. If these are found in us, then we are living our life. Otherwise, we are mechanically living. So he says, instead of doing things mechanically, practicing, doing it with awareness, knowledge is more important. But just having knowledge is not everything. You need to be able to single-pointedly attune. Therefore, meditation is far superior to knowledge. But single-pointed attunement without renunciation is meaningless. See, when you are single-pointedly attuned to God, where will there be space for the world there? Huh? There is not even an iota of space in your heart for the world, because the heart is completely filled with the divinity. As a result of you attuning with the divinity, there is no space for the world. The world is completely renounced. And the moment the world is renounced mentally and only filled with Bhagavan, then what? You will be rejoicing in peace. It is your attachment to the world that gives you sorrow. The moment you have attuned yourself with the divinity, then there is always peace. Therefore, he says, peace immediately follows renunciation. So now, once you have merged to that level of bhakti, what are the qualities? Or even to whatever extent you have merged, to that extent, these qualities you will have. It is 35 qualities. Now, you don't have to develop all the 35. As your bhakti intensifies, these qualities will intensify in you. But you can take up any one quality or few qualities which you are able to identify with and then try to practice it. So the very first quality is Adveshta Sarva Bhutana. Hate no being. You can say, I love all beings. But even if you are hating one being, then you are not a bhakta of God. Because that formless divinity is what manifests as all these forms. So then how can you hate any being? If you are hating any being, it means you have not got bhakti in you. So therefore he says, Adveshta Sarva Bhutana. And he says, Sarva. Sarva includes everything. Sarva means everything. So supposing you have doubt, this person, that person only I hate, is that okay? In fact, that person is the one who is good for your spiritual sadhana. Yeah, everybody else are catering to your emotions. So you say, I love them. These people are the real challenge for you. Over the distance. They are the ones who will make you turn spiritual truly. When you are able to see divinity in them, then you are really, then you can claim that, well, I am now established in divinity. So therefore, for your sadhana, who is good? Those people who make you hate them. Are you with me? So Advaishta Sarva Bhutana Maitra, friendly. You be friendly with every being. You may have certain close friends circle, that's a different thing. But you will generally be friendly with everyone. Because the identification with the body, mind, intellect is not there. The gunas are not there. Only with the Atman, the divinity. Karuna. Karuna is an extremely important quality of a bhakta. It's not pity, it is compassion. And zero attachment. Nir mama nir ahankara sama dukkha sukha kshamihi. Kshami, he is very, very forgiving. As we grow spiritually, we become more forgiving. Otherwise, you keep it to your chest, you don't let go. In spirituality, you let go. So there are so many qualities. You can pick up anything you want, whichever inspires you. For you, if Karuna inspires you, take that. One thing you remember, if you are developing more and more Karuna in you, it is impossible that you will have Karuna and no forgiveness. It's impossible. So to the extent you develop one quality, to that extent you will develop other quality. So he talks about being self-controlled, ever perfectly controlled and contented. You are contented with what you have. You never complain. You are paripurna. You are grateful for everything that is being provided to you. And a bhakta can never be agitated by the world, nor will he agitate the world. You try. If you are still going through agitations, then there is still some element of ego left. When your ego is completely conquered, or to the extent it is conquered, there is no agitation. You will be able to see that it is also a test by Bhagavan for you to turn spiritual. That's how you look at it. I pointed this out to you earlier also. The Sishya will never say, give it to me. If you think it's possible, give it to me. I don't know whether I'm qualified. When he says, I don't know whether I'm qualified, he's not talking that he's completely ignorant. The bhav is his ego is nothing. You are everything. You are supreme. So he knows what is good for me, he knows what is not good for me. So if I have to go through this difficulty, this is what Bhagavan wanted me to go through. So I'll go through that difficulty as a prasad of the Bhagavan. Where is the problem? See, if you read Lord Rama's story, next day morning is going to be coronated. And the previous night he's been asked to leave the palace. For 14 years he has to live in jungle. In forest, absolutely no resistance whatsoever, and cheerfully accepts that. This is the typical quality of a bhakta. Because if you read that poem, Olive Tree, fascinating poem. Two hermits for their midnight prayer wanted olive oil, so they planted olive saplings. One fellow constantly asks God, God, give me this, give me that, give my olive tree, little rain, little sunshine, sun, little shade, little this, little that, everything as he asked was given. Yet his olive tree died. He goes to see what happened to the other fellow's tree. And he sees the other fellow's tree is growing up very well. So he's asking, how is it my brother tell? Well, mine died. How is it yours is thriving, surviving? So he says, I entrusted my little tree to him, laid eye on him, no conditions. He who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me. To think that I know what I want is the height of arrogance. We don't know. We really don't know. So when I have that humility to understand that I don't get the total picture, that big circle which knows the total picture, I'm part of it. So whatever comes, I'll face it. So how can anything agitate you? Agitation will not be there. Physical difficulty will be there, but when the agitation is not there, that also you'll say, sail through cheerfully. And similarly, you identify with every being. How can you agitate any being whom you love, whom you identify with? When you identify with them and put yourself in their shoes, will you do anything to agitate them? Impossible. Impossible. So such a person is absolutely freed from joy, fear, anxiety, nothing. And he is dexterous because there is bhakti. When you put yourself in somebody else's shoes, a customer's shoes, for example, you are asking yourself, will I pay this much money for this product? What am I expecting from when I buy it? I need it like this, isn't it? See, when you buy the plug for, when you buy the plug and use it, sometimes you need one fellow to be employed to hold it. But there are certain plugs when you buy, when you push it in, it fits in perfectly. So how is it that some people are able to manufacture like that and some are not? If you have bhakti, you become dexterous. The bhakti devotion is missing. You won't be dexterous. So that's why he says, bhakta will be a daksha. And very beautiful quality. Personally, I am inspired by this. Sarva Arambha Parityagi. Sarva Arambha Parityagi means renouncer of all undertakings. It doesn't mean that you don't undertake anything. It means you are not undertaking anything. You are a trustee. Things are going on. You are coming in between, going in between. That attitude. Sarva Arambha Parityagi. So he keeps on saying, such devotee is dear to me, dear to me, dear to me. Because what is happening? As the attitude is coming due to the awareness, he's getting closer and closer to the self. He's udasina, unconcerned. Unconcerned what is happening at the level of the body, mind, intellect, as is concerned, is fully with the divinity. So all these are divine qualities. He has no grief, no hatred, no nothing. He remains absolutely alike to friend and foe, honor, dishonor, like, dislike, everything remains the same. And Mauni, Mauni is one beautiful quality. Mauni means what? Absolutely silence, no desires, no expectations, no. In the presence of the Guru, the disciple is quiet. The divinity speaks through the divine person, not the ego. The ego is absolutely made silent. The mind is made silent. Thoughts are silent. And homeless, Aniketa, another beautiful quality. Aniketa also is the name of Lord Shiva. The entire universe is the home of the divinity. I don't have any attachment to any particular home. And Mat Paramaha, resigning everything to the divinity, regarding divinity as supreme and functions. So these are the qualities of a bhakta. 35 qualities, I didn't elaborate each one of them, only elaborated few. Whatever you are able to attune to, you take it as an inspiration, attune and work. Then automatically the other qualities will come. So instead of getting into the discussion whether form is superior, formless is superior, if you are able to attune only to the form, attune to that. But resign everything to that. Slowly, slowly from that you will be shifted to next level automatically. From Ekarupa to Vishwarupa, then finally you will come to Arupa when you merge with the divinity within. Whole idea is to constantly maintain the path of the divinity. Whether you do it or not doesn't matter. So this is the gist of Bhakti Yoga. To the end of middle portion of the Gita. Next week we'll begin the 13th chapter, the third portion of the Gita. Let's conclude the class now. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmanava Prakate Svabhavat Karomi Adhyam Sakalam Parasmi Narayana Eti Samarpayami.